This is a KUNV Studios original program.
You're listening to special programming sponsored by Making Moves Life Coaching Services. The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. I'm Dave Washington, your host. We do have a guest coming on shortly. That's a chief and colleague, John Reed, from down in the Atlanta area. But however, before I wanted to, by way of condolences, I learned that the wife of a dear friend and colleague of ours, Roy Gerald's, she transitioned just a few weeks ago, and I learned about her transitioning from a fellow colleague of ours, Freddie Stevens, who also lives down in the Orlando, Florida area. So again, condolences to the family. On birthday side, we have another March person I mentioned a few weeks ago, and that's George Bocce Turner. His birthday is also in March. I want to once again repeat that this is Women's History Month. And we want to acknowledge all the work that women have done in ensuring the survival of our nation, because women has done quite a bit of things that sometimes they don't get credit for. And on an earlier last week's show, I did mention our Assistant State Service Officer, Tony Marshall, and I failed to acknowledge his number. So his number is 301-537-9465. Again, veterans trying to get their benefits together, Tony will be a person to call. It's by appointment only. One other thing I want to talk about real quickly is my wife. This woman was in a talent show, and she acted as an old person. And she claims that, well, she was the only comedian on the show, so that probably gave her a boost. But anyway, she told jokes about old folks, and from all indication, it was well received by folks who were all seniors, mostly in the audience over at the West Las Vegas Library Theater. So hopefully that will get out there on the air somewhere where Marsha can stop bragging about how good she was. But anyway, I love my wife and my family. And in that vein, I want to talk about, you know, there's a Veterans Family Resource Fair coming up on March 30th. From 11 to 3 at 390 East Centennial Parkway. And as I speak about families, you know, last week I was talking about how much, Gene, they were on my case and they're trying to feed me all this rabbit food. I know a lot of folks know that I'm going through some health trials right now. But man, they were smothering me. And then me and my wife had a long talk last night. I'm, you know, Angel looking at me like, why are you saying this? Because it's my show. And I get to say this because it's my family, too, that I'm talking about. And Gene be calling me every day. John been calling me. I'm like, okay, keep the smothering going because I love it. No, I do appreciate all the prayers and all the comments and statements people make. And it makes you feel good, but it also makes you realize how important you have been in a community that you reside to include. From a fire service standpoint, as John well knows, that we are international. We have people from all over the world that we operate and work with, particularly down in at Dillard University. And with that, John, I'm going to bring you in and ask you to just kind of share with our listening audience. This is a Veterans Affairs show, and we have a number of veterans who do listen in. So give an indication of where you served. How long did you serve?
Okay, I served in the United States Marine Corps. I first served in Camp Lejeune for a year, and I was asked, do you want to go to Hawaii for three or Okinawa for one? Of course, I went to Hawaii for three. So I did 4 years out there, and I'm doing a Westpac, which a Westpac encompasses going to Australia, Thailand, Singapore, mm-hmm. any of those countries on the West Pacific. Okay. If you ever did a NATO, you would be going to Spain, Barcelona, Italy, places like that. Mm-hmm. So 4 years in the Marine Corps, great experience. Okay. Can't beat it for nothing in the world. Never, I would never change that for nothing.
And you say it's called Westpac where you...
It's called Westpac.
Okay.
Most of the time you leave from San Diego, you go to Hawaii, and then you hit the Philippines, Thailand. You may hit Mombasa, South Africa, mm-hmm. Singapore, and anything along that Western Pacific.
Okay.
So anywhere we got stations, that's normally where you hit.
Uh-huh.
And you patrol that area in case something jump off out there in the Pacific.
Okay. So what positions did you serve in?
I served as a field wireman, which is in communications out there in the Marine Corps. But I was attached to an infantry unit.
Mm.
So you got to see a little bit of everything.
Okay.
John, did you get your hands dirty at all?
Oh, of course you did. You had to. You had to get your hands dirty to be out part of the infantry. You know, you had to hump, you know, you force march and all that stuff. Everything you learn, it came full circle anyway. So it was a good learning experience.
Well, John, you know, David has me kind of interning a little bit. And you brought up Camp Lejeune. And being a veteran also, I'm kind of aware of what's been going on with the claims in the water down there. Are you aware of that? And what information would you want to share with today's listeners?
Yes, just a lot of information about what's going on down there. Matter of fact, I was down there during that time, but thankful, I'm truly blessed that I didn't get affected by none of that water.
Mm.
A lot of people experiencing a lot of different kind of cancers, and that's what's impacted. And some of the women, you know, they're dealing with miscarriages and everything else because of that. Water was contaminated.
Mm.
A lot of the cleaners down there, the water that they use, it went back into the system, and that's what contaminated the system.
Mm.
And I think from 1952 up to 1987, those people that served down there, they was impacted by the water. I was only down there for like a year, and I'm sure I drank the water, but it hadn't impacted me yet. I'll say that. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but up until now, I've been good.
Well, that's good to know, John. I want to say this real quick before Dave gets in, because I think this is very important. They had timelines that people needed to meet for the first portion, but now I think what the VA is doing is they're trying to get people into a mandatory class where they're going to go through and see your exact impact that it might have had on you, just to put you in some database. So I would just encourage all the veterans, if you've been on different places like Camp Lejeune or any other places affected by contaminated or believed to be contaminated water or impacts as it relates to being touched by nuclear testing and those kind of things, make sure you reach out to your local advocate, because there's a lot of things that help you out there. And a lot of those cancers that you mentioned, John, or the presumption of those are, if you've been in those places for a certain period of time, it's presumed that you have it. And if you apply for disability, you can get it. So our veterans need to know that.
Yeah, Jim, glad you mentioned that, because if you look not only in Camp Lejeune, you look at New River Air Station, which is north of that, you look at all the other surrounding areas, they're all affected by that same system.
Mm. Wow. That was well said, Gene. I'm glad you brought that up as well. I think it's good to share that kind of information with those military brothers and sisters who may listen to the program from anywhere in the world, for that matter. All you got to do is go on the App Store, KNUV, 91.5, Jazz and More. You won't see a picture of me and Wes, my engineering director, but you'll get that information to be able to listen to the program. John.
So Dave, as you said that, I also think about the burn pits around the world. There's mm-hmm. a lot of burn pits that was overseas, over, you know, different parts of the country that they had, and it affected the lung capacity of many of the veterans around the world,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. They all served, and they all was around some of those pits. So they are affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they need to, you know, like you say, look into that and make sure that they contact the VA so they can, you know, make their claims, whatever they need to do.
Thanks, John. John, me, you, and Gene were colleagues at the Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. I want you to share with our listening audience a little bit about that experience. And, yeah, because weren't we all classmates? Because, you know, I'm getting old, man.
Yeah,
we were.
We were.
And was Freddie was with us or was he not?
He was behind us.
He was behind us.
He wasn't.
But, yeah, Freddie, he always calling me and checking in. And when I told him about what Gene was doing, he said, man, Gene is how old? I said, I think he just turned 62. He said, man, I was just out of high school. Freddie's like in his mid-80s, but he's still in control of his faculty.
Yeah, Freddie Stevenson, I think he's 82, 83.
Yeah, he's in the mid-80s, man, and he's in control of his faculties because, like I say, he calls me every other month or so. We talk a little bit about
it.
And he was the one who informed me about Roy Gerald's wife passing away.
Okay.
Yeah. So, John, tell us a little bit about that EDI experience.
I tell you what, it was an experience that I would never, ever give up for anything. And Gene, I always say that, and Gene knows what I'm talking about. Me and Gene was in the same class, and he gave me some information that I was preparing for the lieutenant's exam.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene gave me some information, and I took it, and I read it, and I used it. And don't you know I came out number one on the lieutenant's exam for the information that Gene gave me from Las Vegas?
That's crazy, man.
Small world, brother. You didn't tell me that story before. That's all right, brother.
And not only that, and once I got that information, I learned how to utilize that information. Not only did I came out number one on the lieutenant's exam, also the captain's exam.
Hmm. Well.
I mean, it's hard work, but what he gave me is I could utilize. It was a dream come true.
Ain't that something?
So that make it made it a lot easier to be a battalion chief when I made battalion chief.
Right on. It's interesting, man. How, and I know you were one, John. I didn't realize you didn't have rank when you came. I thought you were an officer, but obviously,
no, I was just a firefighter.
Right, right. I didn't realize that until right now. In fact, but for you to go from firefighter. And through your training, ultimately becoming fire chief says a lot about our program, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And see, the number one thing that I say to people that comes down to EDI, the network down there, you won't get that kind of network nowhere in the world, not in the fire service.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
When you can go one-on-one with a person and talk about the things they're going through, they can talk about what you going through, and they can kind of parallel itself, and you can say, wait a minute now, if this going on where you at and this going on where I'm at, why don't we get together, you know, and make this thing a little bit smoother for both of us?
Right.
And that's what happens.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah, the exchange that we have a lot of times, like you said, John, it's even outside of the classrooms. I know some people say, why don't y'all just give us a time to do assessment center processes? We have set courses. And we're going to go, that's our model. But in between class, man, and after hours, even between dinner and the evening session, and then after the evening session, there's all kind of interviews being set up. I had several of them when I was in pursuit of higher rank, and that is not a part of the normal process, but it was just people engaging and wanting to help one another move up through the ranks. And one of the things that I brag about is both in particular with Gene and Bert off of my executive staff. In fact, Bert actually wasn't there on the executive staff, but I promoted him before I left. And what's so good about that story is both Gene and Bert became fire chiefs, and off of their staffs came more fire chiefs. So one thing I told the former commissioner here, who was a councilman, who was one of the leads to help me get the interim fire chief job here in Las Vegas. I told him, you have no idea the impact by promoting me. Because one thing that we have to do, and you obviously explained a lot of that, John, how when Gene gave you this stuff to help you to be prepared to go to lieutenant, man, that's how it's done. We can't take information like as some do, and I won't call anybody's name on this program, but I know some guys, you share information, hey, you get that to the guy. No, man, you know, I just thought I'd keep, you can't do that. Share. And when you share, God brings back those blessings to you. So that is well said. And Gene said he didn't even realize he had done that for you. How time flies.
Yeah, time flies, doesn't it, John?
It does. It really does. You know, I can think back also that when we went down to Tallahassee, when we first got there, Gene, how we could sit down, well, even at Dillard, when you could sit down as a firefighter and talk to a fire chief,
yes,
and he can kind of guide you and give you a career path of which way to take and things you had to deal with and, you know, the tickets you got to punch in order to get where you need to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't get that nowhere else. They say, "Hey, you need to take this class. You need to take that class. You need to get your education here. You need to go to the National Fire Academy and take this particular class." You know, so you'll be well-rounded when you get to the top. You know, and then you got all this access to all these other people that you have met along the way. You all going in at about the same time, like me and Gene did. Mm-hmm. We went in at the same time, and all of a sudden we going parallel straight up the ladder. I mean, that's how it goes. You can't beat that. You can't get that nowhere else.
That is a fact.
That is true.
That is a fact. You know, it's really something, man, how when you work with others, man, and I did a little video on the board members of EDI, and one of the things that my daughter Angel sitting here, she produced and directed the thing, but there was a statement in there. Angel, can you remember the one that I wanted in there? It said something about, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go far, go together.
If you want to go far, go together. Can you say that?
That's right.
Can you say that, Angel? I know you're off duty today. Come on.
I don't think it's, is it on?
I'm getting her involved with whether she wants to be or not. So yeah, I want that statement because I think it's so important, and a lot of people don't even think that way. They think of self only.
I want to make sure that it's correct.
Well, that's...
I believe that the African proverb is, because I can't find it in time, is if you want to go alone. No, what'd you say? I don't remember.
If you
want to go fast, go alone.
Right.
If you want to go far, go together.
That's right. And that was important because with your board, they help to guide. Because everybody know I've always been a real firecracker, and I do things, man. Sometimes I don't give it a whole lot of thought. I just need to move on this. And sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But I certainly wanted to acknowledge them for the work that they've done to help to continue to grow EDI. And I know, John, you've been a source for us, John, because you helped us to get the city manager there, and she gave a lot of valuable information. In fact, she's been on campus twice for us. And that's Sister, man, why am I having a brain?
But, Dave, you know what you said? You always say, it can't be about you.
No.
You got to reach back for somebody else.
That's right.
You know? Whatever you're doing the organization, whatever you're trying to push the organization, it can't be about you. It got to be about the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you've done. And I tell you, you've done a great job doing what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. It's Donna Gaydon, she city manager, that you introduced us to. I think, if I remember correctly, used to work for her. So all these contacts, man, over time, it helps us to continue to grow the organization. That's most important. And something I learned from Herschel, and I was reviewing my little book the other day, and I didn't make this statement at Herschel's, you know, they did a fire station dedication in his name where he spent a lot of time working. And one thing Herschel, and it's in my book, it says basically that don't wait on you getting such and such a rank. You know, people, well, when I become fire chief, I'm going to do this and do that. Her said, no, you work from whatever space you're in. You affect the difference by doing the work, putting in the time. A lot of people don't want to bring their bricks. They just want to come in and say, look at me, and I should be promoted just based upon this, not any work or effort that's been put forth. So I will always appreciate our deceased brother, Herschel Clady, for those comments that he made.
Oh, that's true about Herschel. That's the way he was. That's the way he was built.
Indeed. So other experiences with EDI or any suggestions or thoughts that you would share with anyone that may be interested in that program, housed out at Dillard University?
Well, I think the people that go down there look forward to being in a great network, look for a great environment, look for people that's trying to move forward in their organization, which they're going to be plenty because that's what they come down there to do, mm-hmm. to try to make a difference.
Right.
If you really want to make a difference, come down there, prepare to learn. Mm-hmm. So we had people coming in before, and they did what they did. They moved up, but they didn't reach back to help the ones behind them.
Right.
But I think that's what we need to do in the future, make sure that that's the mindset you have going to EDI.
Mm-hmm. Good thought. Excellent thought.
John, you're still involved with the community and the government. As you get your week together and you look at some of your work, how do you feel that the pool is interested? Are they interested in the fire service? Do you get people interested, or is it a challenge for you to even get them to think about the fire service, let alone EDI?
I think you have people that are interested, but they're not really a lot of them, the group now think about themselves trying to get ahead. They're not reaching out. They're not reaching back. But I think when they come in contact with other people that are trying to get ahead, trying to make a difference, that kind of changes their thought process, you know?
Yes.
Because I look at the ones that come out of the Northeast, like Philadelphia, Atlantic City, New York, those right there, they're trying to make a difference up in the north, you know, in their area.
Mm-hmm.
And I see other ones in the south just doing the exact opposite as I look at it from the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters.
What do you see going on in your area with the since you brought up the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, could you tell us a little bit what's going on in your area and what's the challenge today different than when you started as a young firefighter?
Well, we don't pave the way, and now they think everything they didn't see the sacrifices we made prior to them getting there, and now they think it's just okay. You know, they're making good money now, they're driving nice cars now, and they don't see what we went through in order to get them where they are now, and that kind of disturbs me a little bit.
Understood.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've
even to the point where Atlanta, in the city of Atlanta, they're changed their name from Brother Combines to another name, and they said we changed it because we didn't think that we need to do something different because it's a new day and a new time. I don't buy that. I mean, everything in life has historical value, and I think that name did. Because they got the first black fire chief. They got the second black fire chief under the auspices of the Brother Combined, and not the new name they have now. And from the time they got that black fire chief, they only had one white fire chief in between that time.
Mm.
So I don't buy that.
Well, it's interesting that I know that there's a number of things that people move away from sometimes, and it's their ethnicity. For whatever reason, and I think I agree with you that we shouldn't do that, but some people just gear that way, unfortunately. And all we can do is just try to educate and keep working with folks, man. One of the things that there's a brother that I'm going to call, even though he's very, very disappointing. I won't call his name, but he works here in the Valley. And he always talking about he's going to call me because he wants some advice on some stuff. And I'm like, man. Don't do that to me. You know who I am. I'm a very fiery guy. And don't tell me you're going to call me and then you don't. And you, every time you see me, I'm going to call you. So I'm gonna reach out and call him and try to provide whatever advice I can to. Because I've been hearing through the grapevine that he's very, very frustrated on recruitment. And I know Gene kind of talked to you, but that is a very, very, very tough subject, man, because most young people, from what I've studied, they ain't looking for no 25, 30-year job. They just, they're extremely mobile. But I figure if we, and it's just my thought, if we can get some in, they may say, you know what, this is a good place to be. Got excellent benefits, you know, health benefits. I mean, the benefits that you can name that we get as fire service employees, man, is better than most. Better than most. So, again, I'm going to call this young man and reach out to him and see what I can do to assist him, even though every time I've seen him, he's giving me this story about, man, you ain't that busy. That's what I tell him, and I just walk away.
Yeah, Chief, I do the same thing. I open my door to anybody, to everybody. So anything you need, anything I can help you with, just let me know. If you're trying to go through a process and I got information I can give you, you can have it.
Absolutely.
So it's not about me. It's about y'all trying to get ahead, you know, trying to do the things y'all need to do to make, you know, to make it better for everybody.
Well,
so that's what I do.
John, we got about 2.5 minutes, man. So some final thoughts from you. And I just like to say thank you, man, because, you know, I told you about it a couple of days ago, and then I hit you this morning after I had a guest to cancel on me. I said, man, I got to put somebody in this space because I don't want to be talking for 20, 30 minutes. So,
no, I got you.
Thoughts, brother. And how's your mom doing, by the way, John?
Oh, mom's doing fine. I talk to mom every day now, every day.
Tell her I said hello.
Matter of fact, this weekend she's going down to Orlando for a week with my brother.
Oh, cool.
But I'm going down. I'm going to fly down there to help her out a little bit, to get them checked in and everything. Then I'm going to fly on back.
Right. Please tell her I said hello.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. But, yeah, she's doing fine, man.
Good.
Mom's doing well.
All right.
But I was about to say, you know, going down to EDI for 5 years and then going through the grad program, which is the 6-year.
Right.
I mean, it's really impactful. And I think anybody who does the 5 years need to do the graduate program. And it has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. Has a lot to offer.
Okay. Well, thank you, John, for your time, your effort, and we will certainly be back in touch with you because I think you have a lot to offer to those who may be still in the fire service. Because one thing about experience, man, you can't just say, I got experience without doing anything. And I've had guys go, well, what have you done? Want to be the fire chief and ain't done nothing. And I'm talking about zero. And then they call you and say, I want to be fire chief. No track record of doing anything. None.
Right. But, Chief, you know what? If you look around the country, and just about, I would say, a good 80% of these fire chiefs around the country, they have been through EDI, have been impacted by EDI. Either their predecessor was a part of EDI, you know, and they've been impacted by EDI.
You know what?
John, if
I can get you to, in your general area, John, if you know folks that came through EDI, let us know who they are. And they're fire chiefs I'm talking about. Because, what's his name, Fry? Daryl Fry, Dr. Holmes' nephew, he's a marketer for Disney. And he said, you guys should be marketing what you have done in terms of the impact of fire chiefs in our country. He said there could be human interest stories written on folks. He said, you guys have that list? I said, no, but we're going to start developing it. So any help you can give us in that regard will be greatly appreciated, my brother.
Okay. I can do that. I can do that.
All right. Once again, Las Vegas, this is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. We just had the pleasure, Chief Gene Campbell and I, of having a little interview session with a colleague, Brother Chief John Reed, out of Atlanta, GA. Thank you, John.